Of course, this is what we've been interested in getting to. It's taken us some time, but I promised you, if you had patience with me, we would begin to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Now, I want to go on from here. We've got other things to say, other propositions to discuss. Let me pick up now a fourth point, if I may make it here, relating to the biblical sense of history and spell out some further implications for us from that. There are some problems here. I would be the last person to deny it. I want to face up to a number of problems. I'm sure that you have felt them and perhaps have talked about them among yourselves. Though men are free to choose their ways, and therefore men make their own biographies, and men make their own histories, this is part of the sense of time and of history that we have in the Bible. And yet, we know from the biblical conceptions that are formulated time and again, God is said to be the ruler of all men and of all nations. He's not only the judge, he's the judge, but also the ruler of men and nations. God plays a role in history. And he plays a role in the lives of individuals. Now, the question, of course, is, does not God's rulership somehow infringe upon man's liberty? Doesn't God's power negate or curtail man's freedom? But the entire Bible, Hebrew Scriptures and New Testament alike, deny strongly any such implication. Man remains responsible. He remains free and therefore responsible. God acts. There's no question about it as far as the Bible is concerned. But he acts in a special kind of way. This is what I think we need to touch upon here. I can't go into it too deeply, but at least partially. God makes use of men's acts, both the good acts and the evil acts. And he makes use of them for his own purposes, his own good purposes. It isn't that God substitutes himself and relieves man of responsibility for what happens. That's not the presentation. Let me give you a number of examples. God did not manipulate Pharaoh in Egypt when Moses appeared before him time and again. God merely made use of the evil in Pharaoh's heart. And he made use of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart for his own purposes, for God's own purposes. Pharaoh was not exempt from judgment. Or take the story of Joseph and his brothers. God did not coerce or make Joseph's brothers do what they did to Joseph. They did it of their own free will. And they were responsible for the terrible things that they did. But God made use of their evil acts for his own purposes. And his own purposes transcend the limits of men's knowledge and conceptions, except in the few instances where his prophets had some insight into the ways of God. But by and large, we go back to the state of Job, who ends up with wonder but not with very much concrete knowledge. Let me give you one or two examples of biblical expression of this. In chapter 10 of Isaiah, Assyria, the rod of my anger, the staff of my fury, against a godless nation I send him, that is Assyria, and against the people of my wrath I command him to take spoil and seize plunder and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. But he does not so intend, and his mind does not so think. But it is in his mind to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. As Assyria has its own plans for its own purposes, I make use of Assyria to be the rod of my anger, to be the staff of my fury. I am using Assyria. Assyria thinks it is acting for its own purposes, and it is. But I make use of Assyria for my purposes. Assyria does not know that, but I know it, says the Lord. So if you read the language, this is a typical expression. There are others. But this is the idea. Assyria will, in fact, therefore, act out its own evil intentions and will act, as the record shows, with immeasured cruelty. But then God will hold Assyria to account for its own evil deeds. The same chapter, after a few verses, when the Lord has finished all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, he will punish the arrogant boasting of the king of Assyria and his haughty pride. For he says, as the king of Assyria says, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I have understanding, I have removed the boundaries of peoples and have plundered their treasures. Like a bull I have brought down those who sat on thrones. My hand has found like a nest the wealth of the peoples. And as men gather eggs that have been forsaken, so I have gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved a wing or opened the mouth or chirped. That's what the king of Assyria says. Then Isaiah goes on. Shall the axe vaunt itself over him who hews with it? Assyria is the axe, but it boasts as if it were the hand. Or the saw magnify itself against him who wields it, as if a rod should wield him who lifts it, or as if a staff should lift him who is not wood. So you have a bipolarity here. It's a kind of a dialectic. Assyria is free to act, and it acts, and what it does is evil. And Assyria will be held to account for what it does. But at the same time, what Assyria does fits into God's own purposes. But of course, the importance for us is that, apart now from the religious aspects, which are of interest to us, but not in the context of the course, the interest of our concern is that there is absolutely no mitigation of the punishment that is due to the one who acts in an evil way. Even though God may make use of his evil acts for his own purposes. Because a man is free, a nation is free, and a nation like a man will be held to account for what it does. Now, of course, there's no philosophy of history that is formulated here, as we've seen time and again, but it is assumed, and it's clearly implied, and almost everyone who has read carefully the text has seen the implication. chapter 3 of Amos, let me read to you just two verses here. Proclaim to the strongholds in Assyria and to the strongholds in the land of Egypt, and say, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria. Samaria was the northern kingdom of Israel. And see the great tumult within her and the oppressions in her midst. They do not know how to do right, says the Lord. Those who store up violence and robbery in their strongholds. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary shall surround the land and bring down your defenses from you, and your strongholds shall be plundered. And what is he saying here? He's saying that the northern kingdom is evil. The men of the northern kingdom of Israel practice violence and robbery. And the situation is intolerable. And he wants Assyria and Egypt to see the evil and come down and destroy that evil. Now, of course, Assyria and Egypt don't hear the voice of God and the words of God. They will think that they are doing what is good for them. But it is all part of God's purposes and God's plan. The eschatology, as we call it in theology, the eschatology of the Bible, which means the concern of the Bible with the latter end of days. The eschatology of the Bible deals with the immortality of the soul, the resurrection, with the coming of the Messiah, with what will happen in the latter end of days, whether there will be or there will not be a millennium. This is one word full of meaning, taking in an awful lot of territory. But whatever the reach of the word is, and it's a far-reaching word, it takes in the Bible, a goal for the whole of the world, for the whole of mankind, for the whole of the world's history. It's not limited to Israel, it's not limited to the Christian people. The end in view is one which involves a world process. We'll come back to that phenomenon. But it is because of that that God can use Assyria, he can use Egypt, he can use any nation, and in the Bible he does, for his own purposes. But let me now just say one more word here. We'll be finished with today's lecture, and I'll continue with this on Monday. This is a fifth aspect, a fifth point I would make here. Whatever the goals and purposes of God may be, the moral drive and the moral purpose is always supreme. So that God is not merely the ruler, he's the judge. And he's always the just judge. And the moral concept, the moral drive is always the foundation. So God continually calls upon men to mend their ways and to avoid the evil that may otherwise overtake them. They are free to do so. There is no destiny that must be fulfilled in these cases. Take, for example, the prophecy of Jonah. Jonah was sent by God to Nineveh. They're not a Jewish people. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, to prophesy to the Assyrians, to the people of Nineveh, that for their evil, something terrible is going to happen for them. But the prophet is supposed to call on them to reform, to repent, to change their ways. If they do, there will be no evil decree. There is no evil decree that must be executed. Man can change his ways. And you cannot understand the Bible from beginning to the end unless you continually face up to this cry, mend your ways, mend your ways. God, as it were, breaks his heart in pleading with men to live the good life, to choose the blessing rather than the curse. And so there is no fixed pattern for the future. Man is left always with his freedom, but at the same time with his responsibility for the way he uses his freedom and his accountability. He is always accountable. Again, if I could take a moment's time to quote from Amos, Amos chapter 5. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and the fire devour with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth, he who made the Pleiades and Orion. Here you go back to creation. This is constantly, of course, what happens. God, who is the creator, and turns deep darkness into the morning and darkens the day into night, who calls for the waters of the sea and pours them out upon the surface of the earth. The Lord is his name, who makes destruction flash forth against the strong, so that destruction comes upon the fortress. All this in one breath, that is, man is called upon to change his ways, so that the freedom remains a real freedom and is in no way compromised, and the responsibility is in no way mitigated. Well, we'll have to stop here.